Ahoy, everyone. Welcome to recording number 33 of Voyagers Under Sail. Today is December 31st, 2018, Monday, last day of 2018. It was more than almost 3 weeks ago when I was planning to record our experience in Dominica, 2 weeks ago. And I just didn't have time to do that recording. But let's catch up before the end of the year. So now it's going to be Dominica. So a lot of people will confuse Dominica with the Dominican Republic. Dominica, it's an island on its own, has nothing to do with Dominican Republic, and sits between Martinique and Guadeloupe in the Caribbean. And it's called the Nature Island for a very good reason. The nature in Dominica, it's absolutely wonderful. I can tell at this point that Dominica was the highlight of our voyage so far in terms of nature discovery. We left from Martinique, from the anchorage, early in the morning. I'd say it was before 6 o'clock, just when the light was just coming up. We arrived in Dominica, in Roseau, I'd say before 11 o'clock. It was a very nice, easy crossing, a little bit of swell, but it was pleasant enough. We arrived in Roseau, a dinghy, a motor dinghy, came out to help us find a spot. Those people from the dinghy were working for a man called Sea Cat, and they gave us a spot in front of Sea Cat's house at the mooring ball. A few years back, before Hurricane Maria hit Dominica, you'll find maybe 6 or probably 8 dinghy docks and more mooring balls in front of Roseau. But after the hurricane, most of the dinghy docks were destroyed. From what I've seen, there are only 2 docks left at the time of our visit, or they were rebuilt. The other ones are still just the pillars are in the water, and there are no planks, there is no dinghy dock made. Rebuild, and that kind of limits your options for where you want to pick up a mooring ball or where you want to anchor. We chose to stay with Sea Cat, first of all, because these were the people who greeted us first. They gave us a good price for the 5 nights that we spent there, and it was very close to the beach. It's a pebble beach. We decided to not to use the outboard, so we just put our dinghy in the water. We'll paddle to the beach. It was 200 meters from the beach, I'd say. So very easy to get to the beach. The only problem is you are about 10 to 15 minutes walk away from Roseau town center. And this walk takes you along the coastal road in front of the houses of the locals and all of that. Which is nice because you get to see how they live, and when you do this walk at least twice a day for 5 days, you kind of start to get a sense of what's going on and how people live and how they spend their time. Despite not being extremely comfortable to do this walk, it was a good experience for us. I was impressed, for example, by a local artist whose cottage was on the main road. I think he was in a wheelchair, so probably couldn't walk. And I got to see that man almost every single day, inside his cottage or outside his cottage, and I can see that he was struggling to make a living out of his art. That was one thing that kind of stick to my memory. On the other hand, you have the local guys, especially the younger ones, who hang around the bars, and every time you walk, you can see them, checking out Claudia and Tia, maybe passing a comment, But I, you know, I just let it go, move along. There isn't much you can do about it. It's just the way they are. Anyway, let's move on. This is not about this. Dominica is not about that. So we arrived there on Thursday before lunchtime. We went straight to immigration and customs. By 1 o'clock, the papers were all sorted out. That was down in Roseau. And then we asked the guy from immigration where we can go and eat, like a local, at local prices. And he pointed us to a restaurant, a canteen most likely. We spent 10 minutes trying to find it and we couldn't. Then we asked a local what it is and he pointed us again. And that what is the canteen. I think it's called the Italian. But there was no name plaque on the door. There was nothing. You just see people walking in and out, sitting down and eating, but you wouldn't know if it's the restaurant that we are looking for. So anyway, we got inside. Basically, there were different local dishes cooked, pre-cooked, and put on display in a hot, you know, hot containers. And you pick a plate and you just ask the server behind the counter to put on your plate whatever you fancy. And then when you go to the end of the counter, you pay for what you put on your plate, pick your drink, sit down and eat, and that's the end of the business. And this is where our first lunch in Dominica, our first proper interaction with the Caribbean cooking, I'd say. It wasn't expensive, and it was very nice food, in my opinion. Tia wasn't that impressed. David cleaned the plate. Claudia liked it. But I'm almost the one more adventurous. We spent the rest of the day just browsing through town, through the little shops, through the couple of supermarkets, just to get a taste and an idea of what's on offer. We went to the forestry department to obtain a permit that will allow us to visit all the land sites within a week, at only 15, or it was 12, I think it was 12 US dollars per person, but maybe 15 US dollars per person. I'd say it's more like 15 US dollars per person. Then we shopped in the supermarket. We found already the prices higher than in Martinique. If initially we thought the prices in Martinique are high, when we got to Dominica, we realized, you know, they can easily be higher. Everything from beer to meat. Bread wasn't expensive. Local fruits were cheap, but anything that it wasn't local, it started to be a little bit crazy on the price. And then we went back to the boat. We had our dinner. Don't forget, we pull our dinghy to the shore on the pebble stone. We put our stuff in the dinghy, push it out into the little surf, not much, and then get to our boat. I think we got to the boat pretty early enough for us to go for a dip. So that was the first day. The next day, we went to Trafalgar Falls. These are the waterfalls most visited, I'd say, in Roseau, because all the cruise liners that arrive in Roseau, the buses will take the tourists from the cruise liners straight to Trafalgar Falls, and maybe they will do another little thing, but that's the main attraction when the cruise liners come in Roseau. So we took a bus because we were trying to save on our money, and we paid, now we're talking about Eastern Caribbean dollars all the time, unless I say US dollars. So we paid 20 EC, 5 EC each, which is a little bit overpriced because the locals will pay maybe 3 EC, 4 EC, 3.5. We paid 5 EC to get to straight to the falls, to the car park where the falls are. We got there, it was a rainy day, like, you know, proper rain. We had our rain jackets on, but it didn't matter. We went to see the falls. We are told that if you feel adventurous, you can climb your way up to the back of the falls, and then you have a really nice experience because you come to where the water gathers, and you know, it's a little pool, a few little pools before they fall down the rock face. But it was so rainy, the rocks were so slippery, we didn't even attempt to climb on top of the waterfall. And I'm not sorry for not doing it, because it was actually raining really, really, really hard. Anyway, we saw the waterfalls, they're lovely. The most impressive waterfalls I've seen to that point in my life. And after that, the rain kind of calmed down, and we decided to take a long walk to the next village, a village that is famous for sulfur springs. And we find a local guy who kind of explained to us what's the story with the sulfur springs. He showed us one sulfur spring, and then he managed to get us into the private sulfur spring of a little business around there that they will open the doors for you. They have 5 or 6 pools. They basically gather the water into these cement-built pools, bath, you can call them. They're big enough. You can fit 20 people in one of those little pools, you know. And different temperature. Some are hotter, some are not so hot. And we got in there for an hour of soaking into these pools. We paid, I think, $10 each, so that was not cheap if I look back at it. So we paid $40, I say, yeah. And or maybe only $5 each, I can't remember. I think the man asked for $10 each, and I said, no, I'm gonna give he asked for $20 each. I said I was ready to pay $5, and we agreed on $10 each. So we paid $4 to get into this private sulfur bath. We spent an hour there, we had our lunch as well. It was a good experience, lovely, very lush again around there. And then we got the hike back into the Roseau, and that was day number 2. Was it? Yeah, and we were actually in Roseau pretty early enough to take a dinghy ride to the Champagne Reef. And that was another really, really nice experience. So we got a ride from the people who look after the moorings. We paid them 60 EC in total, which is not a lot, I'd say. And that gave us a ride from our boat to the Champagne Reef, which is, I'd say, a 10-15 minutes ride on a motorboat. They let us there for an hour and a half, then they came and picked us up. And the Champagne Reef, you go into the sea, only 5-10 meters off the beach, and you have these bubbles coming from the bottom of the sea into the reef, and actually looks like champagne, you can call it, yeah. And the sun was very low on the sky, so the light was quite good. You will hit these bubbles from the back, and you can see the sea bubbling up, very nice fine bubbles. It was a very good experience, we love that. Again, Pebble Beach, the reef wasn't impressive, but it was a nice reef. And then we got back to the boat. The plan was next day to go to see the Boiling Lake. Our plan was to go into the village, Lodat, it's the name of the village, and then find a guide and go up to the Boiling Lake. So we set up early in the morning, we got to the village, but it was raining. It wasn't raining really hard, but it was, you know, it wasn't a very sunny day. And at the beginning of the trail of the Boiling Lake, we have what it's called Titu Gorge. And we realized we won't be able to get a guide early enough to get us to Boiling Lake. and we decided to spend a bit of time at Titu Gorge and then go to visit another place. So Titu Gorge is an amazing place. It's something that I don't think I'll have the chance to do it again in my life. We have this river flowing through two rock faces. You're talking about maybe 100, 150 meters long. At the end of it, at the very end of it, there is a waterfall. So you get into the river and you start swimming between these cliffs up to the waterfall. Here and there you have a little platform, natural platform, like a stone face that kind of comes out from the rocks, from the cliffs. And you can stand on it and catch your breath, and then you swim up to the waterfall, and then you almost get under the waterfall. And all you see is the sky or the rainforest at the top of the cliffs. And you just swim between these cliffs. It's really, really nice. There was nobody around. It was just the four of us, probably because the weather wasn't great. And that made for a very unique experience. I went first to check to see what's, because there was nobody to tell us what to expect, or we never knew how long it's this gorge. So I went up and swam up to the waterfall. I kind of assessed the situation. Then I came back and I took David with me all the way to the waterfall and back. And then I managed to convince Claudia to do the same, and she was really, really happy for doing it. Tia didn't want to do it. She said it's not something that she wants to do. I couldn't force her. So that was Titu Gorge, absolutely amazing. And it didn't cost us a penny, just the bus ride up to the village. From there, it started raining again. When the rain stopped, we went to Middleham Waterfall, which is the tallest waterfall in Dominica. Again, because it was a rainy day, weather wasn't perfect, we didn't come across anybody, absolutely anybody, going to the Middleham Falls and back. And this is a 45 minutes to 1 hour hike one way, and again 45 minutes, 1 hour on the way back. And this was a lovely hike. It was the first time we actually hiked through the rainforest properly on our own. And again, the vegetation is crazy. The vegetation, the plants, it's just amazing. It's not a jungle, it's called a rainforest, but from what I've seen, you cannot step 2 meters away from the trail. It's that dense. You cannot step 2 meters away from the trail without having a proper machete. So you come to realize how hard it was for the people to first cut a trail through that forest back in the times when they did it. Because it rained a lot in the last couple of days, the waterfall was really heavy. I was not able to go under the waterfall or into the pool where the waterfall falls. I went to the edge of it, and the current of air from the water falling was too strong to make me comfortable to go into the pool. I went to a pool lower below, because there are a couple of pools forming from the main pool. Water was pretty chilly. And the waterfall, as I said, it's the highest in Dominica. I think it's 200 feet high, and it's impressive. That was an impressive waterfall, and approaching it and seeing it from a little distance through the jungle, through the forest, was something unique. It was hard, but not impossible. I mean, it takes time, but I'd say almost everybody can do it. On the way back, just as we're walking out of the trail, a couple, a man and a young couple, lady and a man, were starting the trail. And they were starting it, I'd say, around 3 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock. So I think it was a little bit late. I mean, I was almost sure that by the time they make it back, it's going to be almost dark. So that happened on Saturday, and then Sunday was just relaxing day. We just stayed on the boat all day. Children did a little bit of studying for a change, and we are kind of preparing ourselves for the next day, Monday, when we said, okay, we're gonna make it to the boiling lake. The boiling lake is the toughest, maybe one of the toughest trail in Dominica, and it's the most rewarding trail probably in Dominica. And we knew now how to get to the bottom of the trail, to the start of the trail, and the only thing that we had to figure out is to get a guide. So on Monday morning we left earlier, I think before 7 o'clock. 10 to 7 we are already on the beach. We left the boat as early as possible. It was a bit of a fight between ourselves because Tia didn't want to go to the boiling lake because she wasn't comfortable walking for 6 hours. I said, you know, we have to go, all of us, because it's a family thing, we have to do it as a family. So all of that took us about an hour of arguing in the town of Rozo. In the end, we found a guy to give us a lift, because on that Monday, two cruise ships came into town. So all the taxis were lined up to pick up the people from the cruise to bring them to the waterfall, the Trafalgar waterfall or whatever other attractions. So there were no taxis available to take us to Lodat, the village for the boiling lake. And I found a local guy. I stopped him. I said, we'd like to make a bit of money. Just take us to Lodat. And said, yes, okay, I'll take you. But first, we need to stop by the gas station because I have no gas in my tank. Okay, so I paid him 50 EC. He put half of the money into petrol in his tank. And the other half was his tip for the day. He took us to Lodat village. I actually had to show him the way to Lodat village because he didn't know it. He kind of had an idea, but he wasn't absolutely sure. And we got into Lodat village. And that was around 8:30 by now. And I found, you know, these people working, cleaning the side of the road, the plants and the bushes and all of that. And I talked to the lady and said, look, we're looking for a guide to take us to the boiling lake. She picked up her phone, and a few minutes later she said, okay, somebody's gonna come and take you to the boiling lake. I have a guide. It turned out it was her brother Stanley, and Stanley went to the boiling lake more than 100 times in his lifetime. He took many tourist to the boiling lake. He was very experienced. Not a tall guy, maybe the same height as me, and I'm not a high. I'm 5'8", and skinny, but very agile. Great fun. He told us a lot of things, and he took us to the boiling lake. I don't want to spoil much about the boiling lake, but what I can tell you is that it's something that it needs to be done. It needs to be done on a dry day if you are to enjoy it. It takes you at least 6 hours. If you hurry, maybe you can do it in 5, but you need to be really strong to do it in 5 hours. You actually want to take your time. You want to give it about 8 hours to really enjoy the full experience, 7 to 8 hours. It took us almost around three hours to get there, three and a half hours to get there. You walk through the rainforest, you walk on top of the on the ridge of the mountains, you walk through the Valley of Desolation, where you actually see the sulfur springs gushing out and forming rivers, proper rivers and proper streams in the valley. You cross these warm, hot rivers, and after a while you get to the boiling lake, which is actually a lake that boils. it's not in the crater of a volcano, but it's in an opening in the earth where the earth kind of will let probably hot water and hot steam out, and the rivers, a couple of rivers, or at least one river, flows into this crater, so to speak. But it's not a volcano crater, into this little valley. And this is how the lake was formed, in from what I understand. And it is really, really hot. You cannot go and even touch the lake because it's absolutely boiling. You can see boiling it. So that was the boiling lake. I definitely recommend everybody doing it. On that day, it was us, the four of us, with our guide that made it to the boiling lake, and another three groups, a group of three people and a guide, and another two guys with a guide. That was all. So it's not a mass tourism destination. We are lucky that the day before didn't rain, and on the day of our trek it didn't rain, so that made for a very pleasant experience. On the way back, we stop at one of the sulfur springs, rivers, and we actually take a bus into the real river, into a natural formed pool. It was, and we didn't have to pay anything to anybody. So it was a really, really nice experience. We got back to out of the trail around 4 o'clock. It took us around 7 hours, at least maybe a little over 7 hours to do the full trail. And we went into Titu Gorge again, me and David, for another swim up and down Titu Gorge. And it was the best day we ever had in the nature. It really beat everything else. So that was on Monday. Then Tuesday we moved from Roseau to the other side, to the top of Dominica, Portsmouth, where we were greeted by Alexis. He helped us get a mooring ball, and also organized for us three trips on that side of the island. The next day we went with his bus. He hired a driver for us, Winston, a very good guide, and he took us to Kalinagu village. Kalinagus are the people who lived in the whole of the Caribbean before Christopher Columbus discovered the islands, and most of them were decimated. Luckily enough, the people on Dominica, because of the topography of Dominica, the Kalinagu Indians that lived on Dominica were able to survive, because they kind of moved to the west of the island, and they were not killed by the European immigrants back in 1600 or 1500, 1600 I say. And later on the English made a reservation, and they were kind of given land, and they were able to preserve their culture and their integrity. They were not made slaves, and today you can go and visit their villages. The children and even Claudia were expecting to go, to even myself, to go to this village and see them living in straw huts or bamboo huts and have a very traditional way of living. The reality, they live the same houses as everybody else on the island. They created a little museum where they have a few buildings, and you can see the old style of living, but most of them live a modern lifestyle in new houses, but they have distinct features. You can see it on their faces. They have they almost look I wouldn't say Indonesian or Filipino. They have this Asian look to them. They don't have the African look, and the skin is not as dark, it's more yellowish. They're absolutely lovely people. very friendly, the people that we met. So Winston took us on a full day ride on the bus up to the Kalinagu villages and back. And on the way, he stopped in many places. He explained to us the history of the places, what the hurricane damage did in few in the forest and buildings. It was a really nice experience. We stopped for lunch at a fishing village, and we had again Creole cooking at a very decent price. It was a well worth tour, and Alexis, he organized that for us, and it was well worth the money. And the next day, Alexis took us on his dinghy up the Indian River, and he was so nice. Usually, people will spend maybe an hour and a half doing the Indian River. He spent with us 3 hours doing the Indian River. He was extra nice. He took us all the way to the top of the river, where there is a little bar. We sat down for a drink for at least an hour, maybe let's say half an hour. And he told us many stories. It was a really, really good experience. We got all of that on video, and hopefully we'll make a video of all of this. So that was Alexis. In the afternoon, we went to another part of the island, up to the mountains, to see parrots. It started raining. We saw the parrots from a distance, but not really close up. We got to get some fruits and vegetables from the gardens that are up into the close to the mountain. They're all private gardens. Don't believe that you go and pick up stuff from the ground at your wish. Alexis has a deal with one of the gardeners, and he knows that if he brings people up to the garden, we will go, get, like, we got a fresh pineapple, we got grapefruit, oranges, limes, some other fruits from the garden, and he will pay the man for whatever we picked from his garden. But it's a nice experience to go and pick the fruit and vegetables from the garden, ginger, for example, turmeric, with your own hands and see it, being plucked from the ground. So that was on Thursday, a week after we arrived in Dominica by now. And the next day on Friday, we left Dominica. So in total, we stayed 8 nights, 5 nights in Roseau, 3 nights in Portsmouth. Portsmouth, it's a much cleaner, much nicer, much neater part of Dominica compared to Roseau. The houses, people take much more pride in the houses, and you'll see more businesses up there. Oh, something that I forgot, we visited the chocolate factory from Portsmouth when we went with Winston to see the Kalinagu Indians. He stopped us to a local guy, immigrant, I think he's French, and he set up a small chocolate factory. So we got to see how he makes the chocolate, and we got to taste and buy some chocolate from him. And that was, a very nice experience. We got to taste a few different fruits. So all in all, when they call Dominica the Nature Island, it well deserves its name. We visit Dominica for only 8 days, and I can tell you we felt rushed. You can easily spend 2 weeks, 3 weeks in Dominica. You can do enough. There is enough to do. Coming from Europe, you might think that some prices are a little bit high. But now that I'm in Antigua, I can tell you they are not that high. Eating, you have to be ready to eat in restaurants that serve as bars as well, and. So it's very hard to find a proper restaurant where you actually sit down and you have a waiter bringing you the food the way you would have it done in Europe, for example, or even in Martinique. Most of the restaurants are kind of bar restaurants, you feel more like a local when you eat there, not less as a tourist. So that was Dominica, the Nature Island. We'll try to make a video, because we did get a lot of footage. We'll try to make a video of Dominica and maybe put it on YouTube at some time. But I don't know how soon, because it's hard to find places where we can plug our laptops in for long enough to do the work. And when we have some time in our hands, we actually want to explore. We don't want to sit down for 6 hours or 7 hours editing videos when we have so little time in the places that we visit. Okay? So next will be lessons.